Hey, this is Ryan Miller. I'm the lead pastor of Local City Church. Welcome to our podcast. I hope this talk encourages you, inspires you, and reminds you that there is always hope. That this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the message.
We have been in a collection of talks called I've Witnessed It, talking about the miracles of Jesus. And Jesus did some incredible things. He taught some incredible things when he was here on this earth. And what I love about the love of Jesus is that he exemplified it and proved it. We saw in that video about how Palm Sunday is the recognition that Jesus came to serve and care for those around us. And we invite you to lean into that today. Maybe it's your first time in church in a long time, or again, you came because someone invited you. I pray today that for the next few minutes, pray that you'd laugh along and have a good time, but also that you would open your hearts and let God speak to you in a powerful way. Here's the title of our message this morning. It's called Raised to Life. Raised to Life. Realizing that Jesus wants to give us life. Maybe your church experience is different. Maybe growing up, you thought Jesus just wanted to give you a bunch of rules to follow or tell you how much you've messed up. What I want to invite you today to realize is that his invitation is to raise us to the life that he has created us for. One of my favorite verses comes from John 10, verse 10, that says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." I don't know about you, but I don't want any of those three things for my life. But what has Jesus come to do? In verse 10, he says, "I have come to give you life and life to the full." A full, real life is what Jesus offers you. And that's what we're gonna have some conversation about today. But like I said, we've been talking about miracles these last few weeks, and maybe you asked this question, I would encourage you to write it down. What is a miracle? Where a miracle is this: when God does something only God can do. And God loves doing those things. Jesus loves doing those things. When God does something only God can do. Now listen, sometimes for my Tampa Bay Bucks or my Lightning or my Florida State Seminoles, I'm praying for God to do a miracle in some games, all right? That's not the kind of miracle that God wants to work in our life normally, though, even though I'll pray for it, right? Like, I don't know if God cares, if he intervenes in those things, but I'm gonna pray like he does. My invitation today, though, is to realize that God wants to do something in your life. Maybe there's something you're going through right now that is so difficult, and you need God to show up. I know that he will. I know that he can. And I invite you to lean into that this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me and pray with me as we start our message and conversation today? God, it's been a great day in your house. It's awesome to see so many people here. And God, we pray right now that all of us would feel welcomed and seen and known today. And God, all of us would do one thing, and that's simply open our hearts to listen and lean in to the things that you're gonna say. Lord, we love you. We focus on you today. We give you our attention. Pray that you would be with us and all our incredible kids and kids team next door as they learn about the love of Jesus as well. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we once again say amen and amen. And do me a favor, Local City, can you give a nice round of applause and shout for everybody watching for Local City Online? So glad that you're with us. Wherever you're watching from, we're glad that you're here. Be in the room next week for Easter, though, because it's kind of an important day. Well, I love being able to share with you about the good news of Jesus. I love being able to share with you about the things that God is doing in our church. Here's a verse I wanted to start off our conversation with this morning. It comes from Psalm chapter 77, starting in verse 11. It says this: "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago." Now, let me give you some backstory. This psalm was written by a guy named David. If you ever heard the story David and Goliath, this is the David that is writing this. And what he's writing about is when he's going through difficult times, what his process is, what his practice is. And it says this: "I recall of all you've done, God, in my life. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you?" Newsflash, no. "You are the God of wonders, and you demonstrate your awesome power among the nations." Another translation says, "You are the God of great miracles that we have witnessed." Do me a favor, Local City, this morning as we get into the heart of the message, take a deep breath in, deep breath out. All right, nice and fresh in here, smells good. Now, here's the thing, though. I want you to realize that if you were just able to do that freely, God has done some wonderful things in your life. Why? Because you can breathe. You're alive. That means God's blessed you. That means God has done something in you. Scripture tells us that at the very beginning of time, the reason I have breath in my lungs is because God breathed life into his creation. So thinking about what has God had done in my life. Okay, well, you say I have breath in my lungs. Okay, that's number one. If all of us in this room are able to hop in a car and drive back to our house, if we're able to open a fridge to food, if we're able to lay our heads in a bed at night, we have been blessed and God has done some wonderful things in my life. Do you know what one of the greatest weapons against anxiety and depression are? Attitudes of gratitude. Just saying thank you and realizing, God, you have given me life. I'm here because of you. And so today I want you to invite you to have a bigger perspective of who you are and who God is. That God has some great things that he's done for us. Now, maybe I'm not downplaying whether or not your life's been hard. Life is hard. Can I get an amen if you feel that today, right? Life's hard. Maybe for some of us, life's hard right now. I have two kids, one about to turn 6 and one that's 1.5. Life's hard. The 1.5-year-old's going through a lot of emotional regression right now. A lot of tears in my home. Not just from the kids, but from me as well. Dealing with the stress and craziness of these little lives that you're trying to keep okay. But you know what I have a lot to be grateful for? Because I have that family. Because I have a church community. Because I have a God who hears me when I pray. So my invitation to you today is rather than have the craziness and problems of life, something that you can't stop thinking about, why don't we invite ourselves to have the goodness of God, something that we can't stop thinking about? And maybe I can show you today just how good God is. We've been walking through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels in the Bible. And in those Gospels, there's these mighty works called miracles, again, when God does something only God can do. Now, Jesus performs numerous miracles. His first one is turning water into wine, which we talked about week one. One of them is feeding a crowd of people because he had this hangry crowd about to take him down, and he provided lunch for them. That's the kind of God I love, the one that feeds you, right? But he also has a lot of miracles where he heals and brings back to life and raises people to life. And we're going to talk about that story today. If you want to look at your notes, I'm going to read it from my Bible. John chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says this, "A man named Lazarus was sick." Now, let's just stop right there. Tells us a couple really powerful things. Number one, Jesus cares about names. The Bible cares about names. He cares about your name today. Maybe you're thinking, God doesn't care about my name. He doesn't know who I am. I want to tell you that that is simply not true. He knows your name. He has breathed life into who you are. He has labeled you as a son and daughter in his family. But sometimes we can forget that. This may be hard to believe for some of you, but I was a very awkward, unpopular kid through some of middle school. I got things together through later middle school and high school, kind of figured out the whole social game, right? But in the beginning of stages of those formative puberty years, I was a little awkward, right? And so I had trouble making friends and all of that kind of stuff. But I went to a private Christian school that was a little smaller, and I had the same group of friends for a long time. So I started there when I was 4 and went all the way till 8th grade till I was 14. Still processing some of the craziness of going to a private Christian school about tucking your shirt in and making sure you stand up straight, all that good stuff, right? But one of the things that I learned is actually something that didn't happen really within the classroom, but happened in a social interaction with a friend of mine. So I had a friend of mine that I had known him since preschool. And again, as you get older, the games of popularity and acceptance begin to come to play. And like acceptance is a big thing. Even as adults, we deal with the struggle to be accepted sometimes, right? And some of us would say, I don't want to be accepted. Well, you like being accepted that you're like an outsider, right? So you like to be accepted by those people. We like those things. Well, for me, I was having a hard time being accepted. And this one friend I had, he like was cool. He was tall. He was athletic. He was funny. Just checked all the boxes of popularity in middle school. And so he had his one friend group, and we kind of began to separate as, you know, as you grow from, you know, you change a lot from 4 to 14. And because I went to this private, small Christian school, one of the things you got to do during lunchtime was your mom could bring in a cake, and you got to select some friends to come and sit out at the special outside cafeteria tables with you. And it was pretty cool. And this one day when it was this guy's birthday, all the guys in our 6th grade class wanted to go hang outside. Of course, number one, it's cake. number, that's a big thing. Even as a 36-year-old guy, cake still would draw me in. But the other thing is they want to be around the cool guy. And I remember the teacher was crazy because she was like, hey, you can't have all these people out there with him. He can only have a few. So he had to go down the line and select five people. And so he got down the line, this guy and that guy and this guy and their name. And it got all the way down to the last spot. And I was kind of in the back of the crowd, and I remember turning around kind of dejected, rejected, and depressed, like, oh, he's not going to pick me. I remember opening the door back to the cafeteria just in this moment of sadness, and he says, hey, Ryan, I've known you forever, bro. I want you to come sit and hang with us at my lunch birthday. Isn't it interesting? That was almost 30 years ago, or, you know, 25 years ago, and I still remember that moment. Why? Because it was in a moment where I felt alone. It was in a moment where I felt rejected. It was in a moment that I felt no one saw me, that someone called my name and called me out of the crowd and invited me in. Can I invite you today to understand that that is what God is doing right now in this moment? That you may feel rejected, you may feel isolated, you may feel, honestly, that this God thing is something that you stand on the outside looking in. But God is saying today, hey, I want to bring you into the things that I have for you. I want to invite you to the table. I want to invite you to come have some cake, but way more than just cake. Purpose and life and forgiveness and freedom. I believe we can get so much from this idea that a man named Lazarus was sick. Yo, bro, you're going on this one sentence. I know, but I need you to get it. Because Jesus cares about your name and he cares about what's going on in your life. Lazarus was sick. What are you going through right now? And let's continue in this story. So we talk about Lazarus here at the beginning of chapter 11. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, this was a family that was very close to Jesus. This is the same Mary who would later pour the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wipe them away with her hair. That was a sign of anointing that Jesus was the Son of God. Her brother Lazarus, again, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Would you do me a favor and underline that phrase or circle that phrase for me on your notes? It says, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Why is this line so important to us today? It's because I want you to realize that this understanding about who God is and who Jesus is and the things that he has for you really have nothing to do with how much we love God, but how much he loves us. So much of our life, we can spend so much time trying to do the right thing and get things right that we can forget that, wait a minute, God loves me. And what Mary really writes to Jesus to say is, hey, you care about this guy. She's kind of reminding him what he already knew, that, hey, this is your friend. Other translations say, the one who you love as a friend is sick. Can I tell you today that right now in this moment, the posture of Jesus towards us is with open arms and with an invitation of, hey, I want to call you a friend. I want to help you. I want to be there for you. I want to raise you to life. But let's keep going. Here's what happens as we continue on. After it says, Lord, your dear friend is very sick, it says, but when Jesus heard about it, he said this, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Would you underline that phrase for me? Sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And finally, he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. So let's backtrack it here through some of these verses. Now, Jesus says, he promises this, because in a moment, you're going to see how this comes into play. He says that this sickness will not end in death. Man, I've had moments where it just feels like I'm so sick that I just want to give up, both physically and emotionally sometimes. But Jesus promises to the disciples, and he sends word back to Mary and Martha, that this sickness will not end in death. But what does he say? What does Scripture then say? Although Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he waited a few more days before he went to see them. Now, this is important for us. Now, if maybe you're figuring out this whole God thing and this whole Jesus thing, man, you're welcome to hear. But if you have been a follower of Jesus for a while, I need you to know this, that when it says, although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he waited. Here's the thing. Sometimes, even though Jesus loves you, he will allow us to go through difficult seasons. He will allow us to go through hard times. Why? So that people can see that God is a God of love and strength and power, that even at the last moment, he can bring a miracle into your life. He can say, nope, sickness is not going to end in death, and he's going to bring a miracle. He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring restoration to that relationship. He's going to bring healing to that sickness. He's going to bring provision to where you're desiring things right now. He's going to be the great God that he is. And sometimes we just got to keep moving. What did we sing today? You've never lost a battle. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through battles. Life is hard. Can I get an amen if you believe that? Life is hard, right? I'm trying to get you connected with me, okay? Life's hard. Seeing their brother, Mary and Martha, seeing their brother get weaker and weaker and weaker was difficult. But Jesus knew that, man, there was a miracle on the other side. And what happens is he says, let's go back to Judea. Now, we had these guys that followed him called the disciples. And the I love learning about the disciples because they were very silly friends, to put it lightly. They were constantly making mistakes, constantly saying silly things, constantly letting Jesus down. So it reminds me that when Jesus invites me to follow him, he's not calling me to perfection. He's calling me just to follow him, and he knows I'm going to mess up. But he's still going to move in my life in powerful ways. So the disciples hear Jesus say, hey, we're going to go back to Judea. Now, to give you some history, the reason that statement is a big deal is because everybody in Judea wanted to kill Jesus at this time. They were really mad at some of the things that he was saying. They were really offended by some of the things that he was doing. And so the disciples are like, Jesus, they want to kill you. And because they want to kill you, we're probably going to get caught in the crosshairs. So let's not go there. Jesus says, no, we've got to do this. See, Jesus a lot of times will take us right into the things that we're afraid of. What is that thing that you're afraid of? What is that thing that you're worrying about? Sometimes, a lot of times, Jesus will want us to deal with that thing head on. But the thing is, he's not sending us into it alone. He's coming with us. I'm so thankful that I believe in a God who is with us, who's there for us, who has never let us down. Scripture promises us, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you're thankful for a God like that, give me just a big shout and amen, because that's really amazing to know that God's for us. So he goes on to say, hey, we're going. It's kind of like, I remember having those moments with my parents where I was like, I don't want to go. Hey, we're going. And now as a parent, I love that I get to do that now. Like, hey, we're going, get in the car. No, we're going, right? So Jesus looks at the disciples, hey, we're going. And there's this other disciple names are very important. There's another disciple by the name of Thomas that followed Jesus. Now, Thomas has a moniker that he's been labeled that I think isn't really fair because we would probably do the same thing. If you grew up in church at all, they referred to the disciple Thomas as doubting Thomas. Why? Well, because he did something that I think all of us would probably do as well. So you know Easter, we celebrate, if you didn't know this, why Easter is a big day, we celebrate that Jesus conquered the grave and is alive. We don't serve a dead God, we believe and worship a God who's alive and here in this room in a powerful way. And we believe that Easter is the day that we remember that and symbolize that. Well, the disciples, after Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, they were really afraid because, again, people wanted to kill them. And so they go hide out in their house. And when Jesus raises from the dead, the disciples are hiding. So he walks out of the grave alive and then shows up in this house by simply walking through the door. Imagine you're the disciples. You're afraid people are trying to kill you. And all of a sudden, a guy walks through the wall and is standing right there. Jesus' reaction is funny. He says, hey, peace be with you. If I was the disciple, he'd be like, yo, dude, why don't you use the door next time? Don't you see that we're kind of on pins and needles here afraid, and you're walking through the wall? That's not going to bring me to a sense of calm, okay? And they freak out, and he says, peace be with you. And then he leaves again. Jesus is really funny. Like, peace be with you. I just scared you. Now I'm leaving again. And then Thomas shows up. So Thomas was not there. Who knows what he was doing? He was on a food run, lunch run. I don't know. He was not there. And so he comes back and they're like, hey, we just saw Jesus. And he's like, yeah, right, dude. He's dead. There's no way you saw him. And Thomas did what all of us would do and said, there's no way that he's alive. I know how much of the dark situation his death was. Unless I put my hands in his wounds, in his arms, and in his side, I will not believe. Have you ever had this moment where you've said, God, I will not believe? But I love that Thomas gives a little bit of a caveat. He says, I will not believe unless I can do this. And in that moment, Jesus shows back up, walks through the door wall again. Whoa, that should have proven to Thomas that he was the Son of God. But Jesus says to Thomas, hey, put your hands in the wounds in my hands. Put your hand in the wound at my side and see that I am the Son of God, Jesus. And Thomas says something that no one else had said about Jesus until this moment. You are my God, my God. a term of adoration and love and respect and surrender. See, everyone calls him Doubting Thomas, but really he had a beautiful moment with the Lord that all the other disciples didn't have. Why? Because he was honest with his doubts and God showed up in that honesty. Can I encourage you to be honest about the doubts that you have with God because he can handle them? Just say, God, I really need you to do something in my life. God, I really want to see you. I promise you he will show up. Next time you're in worship here on a Sunday morning, next Easter, just have a moment. Say, God, I just want to see that you're real. Would you speak to me? I promise you he will. Because he's a good God. But Thomas also had another nickname, not just Doubting Thomas that we knew him by, but also the disciples knew him as Thomas the Twin. Why? Because he looked a lot like Jesus. What a great attribute. To look like Jesus? I mean, come on. I don't think Jesus had a red beard and red hair, but maybe I would love that title, the Twin. Let's go. My twin's Jesus. That's awesome. And so he's called the Twin because he looks like Jesus. So when Jesus says, going back to our story, hey, let's go to Judea, Thomas says this, all right, he's crazy. Let's go with him. We're just going to go die. Kind of a manic, depressive state of loyalty, but at least he's still going with Jesus. Can I tell you that even in your weakness, if you stay following Jesus, he will bring breakthrough in an incredible way. And with Thomas, he's like, hey guys, let's just be real here. I'm the one that looks like him. So if people start raging and getting angry, who are they coming after? Me, because I look like Jesus. So let's go anyway. I love the approach of Thomas, like, hey, we may die, let's go anyway. Because I know that I can never go wrong by following Jesus, even if it's to my death. Can I let you know that one of the greatest things you can surrender to is saying, hey, even though this may happen, I'm going to trust Jesus. Even though this may happen, I'm going to follow him. And they go into Bethany where Lazarus has not only been sick, but now he's died. 4 days has passed. In a moment, just a spoiler alert, Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. If you're hanging on by a thread of like, what's going to happen? Spoiler alert, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, okay, if you didn't know the story. It's a powerful story. But let's talk about what sets the stage for this miracle as we begin to finish up, all right? So what every miracle needs is, number one, a problem. A problem. Can we have a moment of honesty, local city, where all of us can level the playing field, both guy on stage and all of us here, we're all people. How many have some problems in your life right now? Hey, welcome. All right, awesome. We all got problems. We're human, and we live in this place called the world that has a lot of problems. Woo! Come on, election year 2024. Ah, right, there's a lot of problems going on. The thing is, though, that's where God can show up. What I have learned in my life is to stop praying so much this prayer, God, take away all my problems or help me not step into problems, but saying, hey, God, problems are a fact of life, but I want you to bring miracles even in the midst of those great problems. I want to see the great power of God move in my life. Every miracle you see has a problem. Someone's blind. Someone can't walk. People are hungry. The wine's gone at the wedding, right? People are dead. Everything starts with a problem. Our fear sometimes is that, oh, I got problems. God's not in my life. No, I believe problems sometimes are an indication that God's getting ready to do something in your life. I did not surrender my life to Jesus so that life would be perfect. Just to let you know, when you surrender your life to Jesus and become a Christian, life does not become perfect. Sometimes it becomes even harder. But you know what I have now? In the midst of the imperfection of this life and the problems I go through, I have someone who is with me. I have someone who is on my side. I have someone who is bigger than my storms, my problems, and my situations. Yeah, we can give up. That's good. We can give up praise for that. Yeah. Here's what it says in John 11:1. A man named Lazarus was sick. Problem. My encouragement is that you would stop seeing problems as deterrents, but start seeing problems as ways God can move in your life. It's a big problem coming. But God, I know you can do something. That's kind of what Mary is doing when she writes this letter to Jesus. She's saying, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick and he's your friend. This is a big problem and we need your help. Sometimes the reason miracles don't happen in our life is because we refuse to admit that there is a problem. We all just raised our hands. We're all broken and messed up people, myself included. The thing is that we've surrendered our life to someone who is bigger than those problems, a person who has a name. We say it this way at Local City. We have wristbands that say it, take as many as you want. There is always hope because hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. So every miracle has a problem, starts with a problem. Second thing is this, every miracle needs some people. Every miracle has people involved. Whether it's, again, the water to wine at the wedding in Cana, to Jesus feeding the 5,000, to this moment with Lazarus. It's not just Lazarus and Martha and Mary and his disciples. Once Lazarus dies, a bunch of people show up to be mourners and console Mary and Martha and the family. So there's a lot of people involved. For me, I need to realize that for a miracle to happen, a problem has to exist. But also, God will not bring a miracle if I isolate and put myself alone. I got to continue to show up. It's not just admitting that there's a problem. It's confessing in my community that, yo, I need God to do something. I need help. There's this another beautiful story of a miracle where Jesus hears a blind man. His name's blind Bartimaeus. Great alliteration word right there. But what Bartimaeus actually means is son of his father. He doesn't even really have a name because he was born blind. And in that sense, if you were born blind, you were seen as less than imperfect. God didn't love you, literally what they thought. And so he's begging on the side of the road, and a crowd with Jesus in the center walks by, and Bartimaeus begins to hear that Jesus is in this crowd. And rather than saying, oh, it must be nice, rather than making excuses about his blindness, he takes this moment, and with every ounce of strength he can muster, he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd tells him, be quiet. He wants nothing to do with you. And he just shouts all the louder to get Jesus' attention. And scripture says that Jesus turns around and calls for Bartimaeus to be brought to the center of the crowd and heals his blindness amidst the people. See, the thing is God wants to help us understand that he's not just in the business of solving our problems. He is in the business of showing those around us that he can bring a miracle to our problems, not so that we get the glory, but so that the focus goes to him, not because he needs it, but because he so desperately wants his people to remember how much he loves and cares for them. Listen, I don't want God to answer my prayers and say, whoa, look how great that guy is. No, I want them to say, look how great his God is. If I can have a taste of that, I want it. So some of us, we just got to get back into church. We got to get back into community. We got to get back into a place where we can be spiritually encouraged. Yesterday, we had our serve day. You saw the pictures over there. And my wife got to lead our park outreach, where we went to the park right down here in Hyde Park. And we were handing out balloons. We do that a lot. I like balloons still. I'm 35 years old, 36. I like balloons. They're cool. They bring you joy. And we always buy these smiley face balloons. I have a very cute picture I'll show you later of my little 1.5-year-old holding a balloon. It's so cute. But what I love, my Adrienne sent me this picture, and she said, look at the park right now. And you looked across the horizon of the park in this picture, and all you saw was these little yellow smiley face balloons. And I thought it was a beautiful picture of, man, that's what it's like when God is doing something simple and great amidst all these people, that above maybe the things that they're dealing with are these little pieces of joy all over them. That's what we invite you to see. And if you want a smiley face balloon, I'll give you one. We got some extra, all right? If you want one, I'll give you one to remind you that, man, God can work a miracle in my life. The third thing every miracle needs is the presence of God. And this is the presence that God is present here in this room. I know that may sound weird or religious, but we believe when we gather together, God is here. And so God can bring a miracle to your life because he wants to. God can bring a miracle to your life because he is here, and he can, and he's powerful. My desire in my life now has been not to say, God, give me less problems, but God, give me more of your presence. Here's what it says in John 11, when Jesus arrived. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave 4 days. So Jesus shows up, and immediately people, keep in mind, this is the Jesus who's already made blind people see, already fed the 5,000, already made lame people walk. He's done some stuff. They say, hey, bro, hate to tell you this, he's been dead 4 days. Too late. The presence of God is never too late. Because at any moment, he can speak life to a dead situation. And he arrives. I think one of the greatest moments in my life is when Jesus arrived in my life and the presence of God came over my life. Everything I have is from these moments where God's presence has been involved in protection, provision, and blessing, and strength. Even in the most difficult times of my life, the only reason I've been able to take one sip after the other is because of God's presence. Why did Jesus wait 4 days? Here's a Bible trivia thing for you. The reason Jesus waited 4 days and not 5 and not 3 is because Jewish culture believed that for three days after someone's died, their soul would linger around their dead body to maybe step back into the body and bring them back to life. But after 3 days, the body would physically start to decompose and there was no way resurrection could happen. No way. 4 days, that's it, all done. Jesus says, hey, I know that you like to put what God can do in a box. I know you like to let your cultural superstitions and beliefs dictate what can happen, but let me show you just how powerful God is. Can I tell you today, you may feel like you're on day 4, day 5, and you have told yourself or people have told you that it's dead and buried. There is no way it can be brought back to life. Can I tell you, when Jesus arrives on the scene and God's presence shows up, a miracle can happen if we would just believe. Come on, if that helps you today, if you're hearing me today, let me know you're out there. Problem, people, presence, and the fourth thing, it's simple. It needs the power of God. It's not about me figuring it out. It's not about me being strong enough. It's about the power of God. Here's what Jesus tells Martha when she says, I wish you were here, Jesus. You could have saved him. Jesus replies to her, I am the resurrection. It's me. I am the life that you're looking for. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Then he builds it more and says, everyone, not just anyone, everyone. See, the invitation in Local City today is to anyone in this room. But to become everyone, we have to say yes to Jesus and his life. Then what happens? Well, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Then he says this, again, a name, a person, directly to her. Do you believe this, Martha? Today, Jesus is saying to us, do you believe this? I hope you do. I hope you believe in Jesus and believe him for what he says. Let me give you three things as we close today to make it super personal, and the band's going to come up. What do I need to know about Jesus? Here are the three things you need to know. Number one, he knows who I am. So as I said, spoiler alert, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But it doesn't just happen accidentally. It happens with great intention. In John 11:43, it says, then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come on out. Spoke to his name and told him to do something. I want you to know today, Jesus, again, knows who you are. Yesterday, we brought about to turn six. He turned six this Friday, our son Shepherd. We brought him to this Thomas the Train exhibit. He's a big Thomas the Train fan. Thomas has been around forever. It's way cooler now because they have like cartoons and like CGI Thomas the Train. When I grew up, it was like creepy puppet Thomas the Train. If you ever saw those with those weird eyes, but I still loved it as a kid. Well, he got the ride on this real Thomas the Train. He was so excited. So as kids normally do on a ride more than 5 minutes, he had to go to the bathroom. And so I stand up, we take him to the bathroom on this train car as we're driving down the railroad tracks. And my wife tells the conductor in the train car, hey, it's his birthday in a few days. Do you think the train car would sing to him? And she was like, of course we will. And so Shepherd comes out of the bathroom and we go find our seats and we sit down and she says to the train car, hey, everybody, very special person in this room today. Someone's birthday is coming up in a few days, and this was their birthday gift to ride Thomas the Train, and we just wanted to sing happy birthday to them. And so Shepherd, if you have ever met him, I'll introduce you after church today. He was like, oh, whose birthday is it? He was so excited because he loves singing happy birthday. He was ready. Every birthday we go to for every kid at our church and at school, Shepherd knows that it's his job to go, all right, everybody, 1, 2, 3, happy birthday. And he does. It's awesome. We love it. He's a very caring kid. In this moment, he was so excited. And then she said, all right, everybody, let's get ready to sing Shepherd happy birthday. And I tell you, I cannot make my mouth wide enough to help. What, me? I tell you, it brought tears to my eye. He was so excited that someone knew his name. He was so surprised. And I want to tell you today that I know life has a way of killing our inner child. I know life has a way of robbing our joy. I know life has a way of really confusing us about who we are. But God wants to do way more than sing you happy birthday today. If it is your birthday, happy birthday. But deeper than that, he wants you to know, hey, I see you. In the midst of all these kids and people in this train car, I see you. And I want you to know, I know who you are. I know your name. But what I need to know about Jesus doesn't stop there. I need to know that Jesus knows where I am. Right now. I don't know where you're at right now. I know you're in church, but the second thing to write down is that he knows where I am right now. In this moment, he knows where. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's happened in your life. He knew Lazarus was in the grave, dead. He's like, hey, I know you're laying there, but come on out. So the first thing to write down, he knows who I am. The second thing to write down up on the screen, he knows where I am right now. You can't confuse God. You can't trick him. He wants to say, hey, I'm here with you. The third thing is, he knows what's possible if I just believe. You know what really encourages me about this story? We got a group of people saying, it's been 4 days, he's dead, Jesus. We've got other friends and disciples around Jesus who kind of believe that he can, but believe now it's far too gone. Can he really? There's some doubt there. The only guy who's like, yep, I think he can, is the dead guy. So what does that mean for me? I have to have a little bit more belief than a dead guy. I have to have a little bit more belief than a guy who's dead in the grave. And I think I can do that. And what I love is Lazarus is helpless. He's dead. He's in the grave. Jesus says, roll the stone away. And they're like, Jesus is going to stink. Some people may say in your life, we can't give them a chance to know God. They stink. That's not what Jesus says or sees or smells. He loves you. And he wants to say to us, come on out. And it's at the voice and word and power of Jesus that Lazarus opens his eyes and he walks out of that grave still covered in all the grave clothes. But he's one of the beautiful testimonies of what's power, what's possible when we believe the words of Jesus, when we believe the power of God, when we believe the presence and love of Jesus in our life, that we're his dear friends and he wants to bring miracles in our life. Can I tell you today, Local City, you may feel like you're in the grave, you may feel like you're in the shadows, but today, just like my son Shepherd on the train car, Jesus wants to say, hey, I see you, I know your name, and I want to celebrate with you the new life that I have for you. Come on, if you want that today, why don't you give him just a shout of thankfulness, and I need it today.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Local City Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just heard and allow it to go deeply into your heart. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Local City Church. Your generosity makes this podcast possible and creates life change for so many people. You can be a part of spreading this message by going to localcity.church/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this message with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.